So I went to high school in an area that's pretty, I mean, it's pretty conservative. It's very wealthy. It's very white. It is, in a lot of ways, very conservative. Not exclusively, but there's this girl that I went to high school with that, you know, I'm still friends with on Facebook. And occasionally she and I will get in Facebook scuffles because she's very conservative and she will post things that I just find really problematic and difficult to swallow. Like yesterday, the day of the midterms, where I was like checked out politically yesterday. Like, I wasn't following the news because I was like, I can't ride the roller coaster ride. I'm just gonna read tomorrow morning when there's some freaking results to look at, right? I can't
Yeah,
do it.
same.
I can't bear the idea of like soaring hope and then crushing defeat again.
Yeah,
Can't do
same.
it,
I decided not to look until, I don't know, like 7:30 or 8, and then we had some couch time, some CNN, MSNBC couch time together.
Nice.
I mean, my husband and I.
With candy
You
salad
know, I did not have
or
any food. I wasn't well prepared. What did we do? Oh, no. I took two treats from the Halloween bags that my kids brought home
All right.
on Halloween. So
All
I
right.
had two treats. Yeah.
Yum.
That's good.
But so anyway, so yesterday on the day of the midterms, I was just on Facebook and I saw that she had posted a thing about Kavanaugh and how due process is part of the fabric of American society, and that we need to maintain our cherished value of innocence until proven guilty. And I was like, why the fuck are you doing this today? Like, why are you doing this today?
Could you figure out what,
You won.
why was she tracking it today,
Well,
that
okay.
day?
So it was interesting because I was just kind of like, you know what? 2 months ago called, and I have no idea if that was actually 2 months ago. Like, time is so
It was
flexible for
10
me
years
right
ago,
now.
actually. We're all a decade older.
I now have seven more gray hairs on my head that I've named Brett Kavanaugh's 1 through 7. But no, I mean, I was just like, why are you doing this now? Like, this is not even in the news cycle. This is, you won. You won, and it hurt me that you won. Why are you bringing this up again? And of course, I took it personally because that's who I am. But it was really, really interesting because really quickly we realized that we did not agree on the fact. And that was an unbridgeable gap, right? Like, when you, I was like, but you say we should believe in innocence until proven guilty, but like, this, no, he wasn't been, he's not being charged with a crime. He's being interviewed for a job, but we still have to believe in innocence until proven guilty. But we really fucking don't. So if we can't agree that this is, that a job interview is not the same thing as a criminal trial, the conversation's kind of fucking over, right? And it reminded me, and I asked her, I invited her to please broaden the points of view in her news gathering, because I always see her posting from the same news sources. And the most liberal news source I've ever seen her post from is USA Today, which is like not particularly liberal or conservative
Right,
either
it's like
way.
Joe's newspaper.
It's Joe's newspaper. It's totally, it's like basically the AP rebranded, right? But at the same time, it's like you could dig a little further, and you could even read news sources that you don't necessarily inherently trust, but you might gain a little bit more insight and understanding into why people hold the positions that they do. And then I was like, okay, but Katie, put your money where your mouth is. What oppositional viewpoints are you reading consistently, and not just reading in outrage like Breitbart? There's really only one reason to read Breitbart, and it's because your outrage tanks are running low. And I think that's true on either side of the aisle,
Right,
right?
right, right.
Like, but no, like real news that just happens to have like a conservative slant to it. So I read about this app called Read Across the Aisle. It's a free app. And it has a whole bunch of news sources, and it ranks them from most conservative to most liberal. So it has all the way in the deepest red, Fox News. And then it goes down, you know, The Federalist, David Brooks of The New York Times, my fucking nemesis. I hate that guy. How can you be a nemesis with someone who has no idea
Yeah,
that
of
you exist?
course.
Okay,
Of
perfect.
course. If you get that nauseous like feeling whenever that person appears in your life, then that's your
Okay,
nemesis.
so Ted
They
Cruz
don't
is
have
also
to
my
know,
nemesis. No,
right?
Ted Cruz is also my nemesis then. Donald Trump is also my, because every time I see their face, I'm
Yeah.
like,
You
you
have
are,
many nemesi.
I have nemesis, nemesoses.
Nemesi.
So anywho,
Nemesum.
it keeps going down. Christian Science Monitor, Reuters, BBC, and then it starts to get a little blue. NPR, The Atlantic, New York Times, New Yorker, Huffington Post, right? And so what's interesting about this is that you can click through and read just different points of view. And that's really cool. I like that idea. Having it all right there. I don't have to download 47 different apps.
Yeah.
It's just here. Cool. Big problem, though. There are zero publications on this list that specifically represent marginalized populations. Like, there's no The Advocate in here, right? And I think that's a really important part of talking about broadening your viewpoint, not just red or blue, but like humanity, broadening your viewpoint to lots of different kinds of people.
Sure.
You know, so like, where's like your Indigenous American Indian news? Where's your Latinx news? Where's your Black news? If you looked at the editorial boards of all of these, from the New Yorker to the New York Times to the Federalist, it would be a shitload of white folks, right? It would be a shitload of straight white folks. Not across the board, but like, let's, you know, come on, read across the aisle.
Are you going to write to them and tell them?
Yeah. Maybe like read across the aisle and also, you know, out of your fucking mirror, out of your fucking family tree, please. So you're listening to Mouthy, Messy, Mandatory. This is Katie.
I'm Ronit.
Why did I just say this is Katie? It's like, I'm leaving a voicemail message. Anyway.
This is Katie. I hope you'll listen to a little bit more of our podcast today. Also, this is Ronit. I, too, hope you'll listen to a little bit more of our podcast today. Thanks. Bye.
Beep. So we are doing kind of a midterm wrap up. So the midterms happened.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like electus interruptus a little bit. Like there was a lot of
like an orgasm.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like there was a shitload of foreplay going into these midterms, right? Mm-hmm. Like there was a lot of tweaking of the Democrats' special erogenous zones of like, okay. Hey, we're talking about governorships. We're talking about flipping
the Senate.
That was
what that tingle was, I felt.
Blue wave, baby. It was the blue wave. It was tingling your giblets there, right?
Jesus.
So Here's the question. Like, did anybody get there at the end of the day?
I got there because I don't feel like dying today.
Oh my God, me too.
I was really nervous. NPR, when I was listening to NPR, I heard some very conservative, cautious news. And I was like, oh my God. And then when I got home, I saw CNN, which was already projecting that the House would probably go Democrat. And I was like, easy, busters. Don't lead me on.
Don't fuck with me right now.
Yeah.
I know.
Exactly.
Totally.
So I really didn't want to exhale until later in the night. And it was interesting because I found it interesting to listen to the punditry, and like Dana Bash, I was watching her speak a lot, and I actually like her. I don't know what your opinion is about her, but I think, you know, she explained some of the politics to me in a way that I understood better.
Closer. Mike Braun, the Republican, is still very far ahead at 55.3%. The incumbent Democrat Joe Donnelly is trailing at 40.8%. But again, we are still waiting for a lot of the Democratic areas.
I just was really preoccupied with the fact that Rachel Maddow on this like really big panel. Were you watching MSNBC at all?
I was not.
Okay.
Fill me in.
What were
How
you watching?
How was it? I was watching nothing. I was volunteering last night.
Okay.
I literally put my head in the sand of like, I'm going to love someone
volunteer?
Else tonight. Making connections.
What was this?
It's a mentorship organization for first generation young women of color. Mm-hmm. And the college application deadlines are coming up in a couple of weeks. So yesterday, instead of riding the roller coaster of election results, I was helping the kick-ass women of color who were going to be running our country in 10 years finish their college applications.
Well, they're already starting to, right? Wasn't
Hell
it a record,
yes.
record numbers of women won?
Yes.
Won seats, yeah?
Yes.
What do we have? It was like 114 so far.
I don't
Something
know.
Something like that.
Yeah. Wait, but I want to hear about this MSNBC panel with Rachel Maddow.
I mean, it was just funny to see all my MSNBC cronies. I mean, they don't know I'm their crony, similar to your nemesis. Like,
exactly.
Can they be my cronies if they don't know who I am?
Yeah. You're their fangirl.
I was like, wow, Rachel Maddow, like, you're looking tired. It's not like, I was just like, wow. Like,
you've been working hard.
You've been working really hard. Like, everyone is, it's just funny because I usually see them in their encapsulated little screen time. They get like an hour of my attention.
Totally.
They were all sitting next to each other last night. And I was like, look at you guys, you friends.
You're crossing the streams.
Exactly. They were totally crossing the streams. And some of the data and the graphs between CNN and MSNBC, I was just like, I feel like I'm in math class. Please stop.
I know.
But I did find, I was very happy. What I wasn't so happy about is that Stacey Abrams. It does not look like she's going to win over Brian Kemp. And we talked about Stacey Abrams
as
many
of this
times.
Recording. We don't.
Yeah,
it
but
hasn't
they're saying
been,
as of now, yeah. as of this recording anyway. I'm so sad because that was my big, I gasped when I saw that because I've really been hoping that she could turn this over. Now, the thing is, the fact that she's giving him such a run for his money is huge.
It's
because she would be the first black governor, like, ever. Right?
Yes.
Woman.
Exactly.
So it would be amazing. And Brian Kemp, for anyone who has not seen his ads, was completely trumping, like, going on the Trump coattails. I'm going to round up immigrants, like, basically in a paddy wagon. I have a rifle here on my front porch. If you are a liberal, you're not going to like me. In your face stuff. And Stacey Abrams was going after the voters who hadn't voted in a long time. And she's still asking people. She's still really counting on those mail-in ballots and absentee ballots and things like that to
Hell
see
yes.
if maybe that will bring her up. She's not conceding yet.
Good for her. I don't think she should concede. I also think that Kemp has fucked with this election fucking hard.
I know.
Like, because he is the person who is in charge of running the election and is also running in the election. How do we not see how
he didn't recuse himself? Right? He didn't. He didn't step out.
No,
right?
He did both of the things. He was like, "I'll be fair, I promise." And then he's like trying to rule ballots invalid.
That she's so close to him.
Exactly. Imagine how much she would have kicked his ass if he wasn't cheating his fucking stupid face off. Pardon my French.
Brian Kemp.
I guess I'm a little mad.
So there is some good news. Ilhan Omar is the first Somali-American congresswoman, and she's a Democrat. And here's a little sound from her celebration speech.
So our state is very cold, but the people have warm hearts.
That's right. Yes, bro.
This state has always made me feel like I was part of a family. Because here in Minnesota, we don't only welcome immigrants, we send them to Washington.
So that was an amazing, she was talking about how, you know, this is the way we're going to rebuild the country. So that was really nice. And then also Rashida Tlaib also is a Democrat, and she's the first Muslim congresswoman, which is amazing. Then we have the first openly gay man to win a governor race, who's Jared Polis.
Way to go, Colorado. Way to come through. Hometown.
Yep. And of course, we cannot forget Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the youngest woman ever elected.
Oh my God.
Charisse Davids, the first lesbian Native American in Congress.
Way to go, Charisse.
Yep.
Proud of you.
I love it when you do this, because like, you'll root on, and then eventually, if I keep going, you'll be like, okay, that's enough. This has happened before.
Okay,
you like
go ahead.
Bring it. We've got Deb Haaland, the first Native American woman in the House.
Deb,
yeah,
crushing it.
I got one more. So save your last bit of enthusiasm.
Oh my God, I'm ready.
Chris Pappas, New Hampshire's first openly gay member of Congress.
Chris,
openly gay.
Nailed it.
Good for you.
All the way out.
Yeah.
All the way out.
Yeah. So those are really bright spots in what happened last night.
So I think like we're agreeing that like, yeah, we got there. We got there. Was it the earth shattering multiple orgasmic blue wave experience that had been set up for us? No.
No.
But you know what? That's not the way the fucking America works. Okay.
The America.
That's not the way the America works. I've been really fucking up my articles lately. I was like, kids, we're going to call Nana on the FaceTime. I said that the other
day.
That's not,
that's just an old thing. You must have crossed the threshold of age. Yeah. So they're calling it the year of the woman. These are the takeaways. They're
beautiful.
This voting pattern is a Trump referendum because it says that there's enough people angry with what's going on. Now, I'm sure he would like to have had the House. I still think it's important to note that the Democrats are playing in fields that they normally do not play in, that they're contesting the seats for Republicans in a really close way.
Yeah.
So that's really good.
I totally agree. You know, Ted Cruz was so close to losing this race. Like, so he almost lost to Beto.
I didn't realize that.
It was the narrowest margin since like 1978 or something.
Well, they're saying don't discount Beto for 2020.
Totally. Yeah. No, I think, so about that Ted Cruz Beto race.
Let's hear about it.
Okay. We just fucking did an episode that clearly did not make its way to Texas about white women not just voting for fucking white dudes some more. Like, your whiteness will not save you. Stop it. But did they hear our episode in Texas?
No.
They must not have, because if they had, 59%
only in certain districts.
59% of white women would not have voted for Ted Cruz yesterday.
What the heck?
Ted fucking Cruz. Ted Bridge Troll Cruz. Ted Gollum King Cruz. Ted.
Go on.
Ted, you know, one time when I was in a sorority in college, we used to have bagel Fridays, and we would get like a platter of cold cuts and bagels and a bunch of different schmears.
Yeah.
And there was, we would have rotating duty to clean up after bagels. And one time the girls whose job it was to clean up, they put everything away in the fridge like they were supposed to, but they didn't realize that the fridge was broken and had been unplugged. So a week later when we came back for bagels, there'd been a tray of cold cuts rotting in the fridge, in the hot fridge in Louisiana for a week. Ted, that image, Cruz, okay, rotten turkey with maggots crawling around on it. It was real. It was real.
Okay, but I have a question for you.
Yes.
If you had to choose, this is the terrible thing. About if you had to choose between having Trump as president or Ted Cruz, who would you pick? Go.
Well, it's a tough call. It's a tough call.
You're stalling, I see.
I am stalling because Trump is not, his only ideological mooring is his own self-interests, right? Mm-hmm. So he is in a lot of ways malleable, which is great. Ted Cruz, I think, has a touch of that, has a touch of the only master I serve is myself, but he also has a lot of really shitty ideology that feeds his choices and his decision making, and he also really wants to survive in the long term, versus Trump I don't think has the ability to think in the long term. He is a goldfish. We have we have an evil goldfish president.
He's actually
right
getting
now.
Like oranger, by the way.
Oh my
like
God.
Every time I see him, and I don't like to attack people's looks,
I know it's
but
notable,
he is oranger
man.
And oranger. It seems like the more he lies and the deeper he gets into his zone of destruction for our whole country and possibly our world, the oranger he gets.
That's like his tell, you think?
Yes.
Like the more evil
yes,
he's getting,
yes, you can
the
just tell because
gets?
The contrast between his eyes where he wears the protective goggles is much bigger.
I know. Mm-hmm. Who is not telling? Okay. If we thought the toilet paper getting on Air Force One was a moment where we realized how little loyalty this man has in his life, that nobody around him told him that he had toilet paper on his shoe
That's
in front
totally
of the
true.
Fucking international news media, right?
It's not pretty.
Who's
it's...
not telling him about his coloration? Who's not telling him about that? Anyway. Okay.
Well, they're also saying on this little quick sum up of last night that Sherrod Brown, is it Sherrod or Sherrod? Do you
I think
know?
It's Sherrod.
Sherrod Brown is someone the Democrats should listen to more. They're saying that he did really well and that Trump is, you know, there are like 80,000 votes in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania that made Trump president, basically, so that the Midwest is where the path to the White House was forged last time, and it's going to be in 2020 that Trump goes there. So it's important to mine that area. And they said that what Brown proved on Tuesday night is that a Midwestern liberal populist can win and win easily in what will be the key battleground of 2020.
Yes.
So they said if you're looking for a dark horse in the 2020 Democratic field, you could do a lot worse than Brown.
Oh, really good point.
But people also say that women are the place to look because so many women won seats.
Totally.
That's the voting. That's what you need.
Totally. Well, it's a deeply energized voting body right now. I mean,
who are you thinking of?
For 2020,
yeah,
girl.
Klobuchar, girl, Gillibrand.
I cannot even yet. Like, I wish that I had an answer for that question. Mm-hmm. I am still sitting with this 2018 business and like the reality of the work ahead of us, because you know what the other thing I'm thinking about is?
Tell me.
Just as a voter, I'm not a pundit. I'm just going to say that right now. But, okay, so this House is going in January. What the fuck is going to happen between now and January?
Okay, well, Mueller is probably going to return some of his, you know.
Hopefully,
some
yeah.
of his decisions.
I mean, he has to survive until January, and then he's going to have some fucking cover. Someone's going to have his back, right?
Right. Oh, and Jeff Sessions has been asked to resign. So he resigned today, but he made clear that Trump had asked him to resign.
Somebody get that man a glass of sweet tea.
I still like thinking of him as a Keebler elf. I mean, not that he's innocuous like a Keebler elf, but, you know,
he does have an elfin bit.
100%.
When Kate McKinnon does
him
on SNL.
I like Kate McKinnon's Jeff Sessions a lot more than the real one. But yeah, so he's out. So it just like it's earthquake after earthquake over here these days in this country. And, you know, about the toilet paper on the shoe for Trump, like, I'm not happy. Like, this is the thing, right? I think it's creating like sort of a bifurcation inside of me, because I don't want the president of the country that I live in, that's supposed to have sort of an aura of power as well as liberty and freedom goals, to have toilet paper on his shoe.
We don't want him to be a doofus.
Like, I don't want that.
Totally.
But of course, I'm not happy with him. So better it should happen to him than anybody else. But it's tough because I don't want him to be a laughing stock. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want our country to be a laughing stock. I don't want people to like relegate us to just the trash pile of history because we're failing so hard.
Yeah, I agree with you. But at the same time, I want him to fail outside of the context of representing us. And I don't think I get to have my cake and eat it too.
He's so going to be like the nuclear winter cockroach that doesn't go away.
I know.
I know. Like, I just, I mean, I'm not happy, but like something's got to give at some point, I believe. And I have heard rumors in my special little feed that Donald Trump Jr. might get an indictment from Mueller soon.
What special feed are you subscribed to?
I mean, it's not that special. It's just like yours, but I call it special because I've curated it especially
Your Twitter
for me.
Feed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm friends with spies. I'm friends with them. And now I'm no longer going to be allowed to be friends with them because I just disclosed that
I'm
friends with spies.
Everyone friend at Plank Ronit or follow at Plank Ronit on Twitter. And then you'll get
up.
And then she'll retweet all of the spy stuff. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. But are you curious at all about how conservative news media is covering the midterms?
Sure am.
Okay. So I spent some time this morning on conservative news media.
Conservative news media. It's not for all of us.
That's a really good jingle.
I haven't done a song in a long time.
I love it. Okay. So I read pieces in the National Review, American Conservative.
God bless you.
Town Hall. And then
you still have eyelashes and eyebrows left.
I do.
Pull them all out.
I know. And then I also took a quick glance at Red State. Psycho theme music right now. It was pretty bad. Red State, it was funny. Their headline, their big like above the fold headline was like soon to be indicted crook concedes Florida governor's race. And I was like, all right, guys. So that to me, because what I was looking for was not outrage media. I was looking for legit coverage, like people who are thoughtful conservatives. How are they covering this election?
And people you could sit across from dinner with and actually maybe eat your meal.
Maybe. Although I honestly find myself even at a really hard place right now. It's kind of like people who waited 6 weeks to condemn family separation. Like, I know how you feel about it. If it took you 6 weeks to say it's not cool, it was too cool. It was too cool for you. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it. Like if you were so okay with everything that's happening with the GOP right now, it takes me right back to this whole Trump thing where it's like, oh, lots of good people voted for Trump. Well, maybe they were good people, but they made a really bad choice because no matter what they thought they were voting for crimes against me and people I love. So you can't love someone and then vote for someone who's going to hurt them. True. And so I'm having a really, really hard time finding my bipartisanship right now. But anyway, all that aside, I did want to look at some conservative news media.
Go.
Okay, so my kind of general takeaways were it was actually really similar to the liberal coverage in that they were claiming some victories, some defeats. They were definitely doing a lot of the post-game spin that Democratic or more liberal news media is doing right now, like what worked, what didn't, looking ahead to 2020, who do we think is, you know, going to run the game, you know, what's going to happen in the House in 2020, what's going to happen in the Senate in 2020, you know, like all of these questions are being asked on the other side of the aisle. A couple of big distinctions for me. One is that there's a massive amount of whitewashing and sidestepping on ideology that's really problematic. So for example, okay, in this piece in the American Conservative that's actually critical of Trump's leadership in a lot of ways, the American Conservative says the defeat of Kris Kobach, who admittedly had his own problems, combined with the baggage of home state Republicans, who are themselves not especially Trumpy, in the Kansas gubernatorial race, is another setback for building a Trumpism that outlasts the president. Okay, so when we describe Kris Kobach as admittedly having some problems, like he is a massive Trumper who has really fucked up voting in Kansas, like really, really badly. For example, from 2013 to 2015, more than 36,000 Kansas residents, 14% of people who were trying to vote, were placed on a suspended list because they failed to meet the proof of citizenship requirements that had been introduced in a 2013 law by Kobach. He justified the law, but it was then thrown out by the courts. They were like, no, they met the requirements. You can't just randomly pick, by the way, all immigrants to suspend from their voting rights. It's not cool. So yeah, that's one way to say it, the American Conservative, who admittedly had his own problems, like who was obstructing people's right to vote on purpose in a racist way. Like that to me, that kind of whitewashing it's prevalent all over the place, especially in terms of immigration. And then a really, really interesting angle that it's kind of like I'm trying to find the right metaphor for it, but a lot of conservative media is like, Trump is a deeply flawed president. And I'm like, yes, I agree. But the reasons that he's flawed are so different, based on what side of the aisle you're looking at him from. Like, this piece from the National Review says, President Trump was widely criticized for raising the issue of immigration again in the closing days of the campaign. I agree with that. He was widely criticized. He should have been widely criticized for that, because he was waving this absolutely illogical, zero fact threat of like a caravan of children coming to our borders to, quote, invade. He called them invaders. He called it an invasion. He sent our own army to the border, which questions about the legality of that.
No, he found something that works, and so he's just milking it.
But exactly. So, okay, I agree. Widely criticized. And while, as is often the case, this is the National Review again, the way he did it may not have been ideal, he had solid underlying points. The nation has to enforce its immigration laws, and Democrats have too many hang-ups on the issue to be counted on to do it. He basically, this writer goes on to say that there's too much bark and no bite when it comes to Trump's immigration policy. He promises to do much more than he ever actually does. So they're arguing that he's not going far enough on immigration. I am hung up on immigration, but my problem with that argument is that, like, yeah, Democrats are hung up on it because immigrants are Democrats, like, because the people that you're talking about actually have a voice in this party. So yeah, it's much more complicated. And when you have the position of just like no to immigrants, okay.
Right.
I mean, that's not as complicated or nuanced as it is, but like, that's not the reality. I do want to just give a quick shout out to The Advocate, advocate.com, to nativenewsonline.net, and theroot.com. Those are a few places where I loved
The Root.
The Root, right? Mm-hmm. And Very Smart Brothers.
I don't know.
Such
Very
a good
Smart
one.
Brothers.
Oh, it's really good. But these are all places where you can, you should be adding them to your news. I mean, I can't stop criticizing places like the New York Times for choosing to try to understand racists instead of trying to understand people who are hurt by racism. I found myself questioning why I was going to conservative news sources today to try to see how they were covering it instead of going to marginalized news sources today to see how they were covering it, you know?
Yeah.
So as much as I think it's important to try to broaden the voices in your whatever. What am I looking for?
Wheelhouse.
In your wheelhouse. In your talking wheelhouse. Oh my God.
In your info basket.
I need to sharpen up my talking wheelhouse today. But I think it's important to broaden that and to be able to say, like, ideologically, I have diversity of ideas, but you need legit diversity of voices too. And yeah. I think when push comes to shove, I would much rather listen to Black people talk about the harm of racism than try to understand why racists are racist. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Let's try to focus.
But you're going to go back to the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I appreciated the thoughtfulness with which these pieces were written. I had a really hard time. It's like they were all just based on the idea that, like, obviously immigration is bad. So
right.
Moving forward from that common assumption. So it's like when you don't agree with the common assumptions.
Yes, of course. You don't really have very far to go.
It's hard. It's like that conversation I had with the girl from high school where it's like she doesn't think that Kavanaugh should have been questioned on whether he deserved this job. She thinks that the accusation itself was offensive and was insulting and was galling even, and that the idea that these women would come forward and say these things about this great man is a violation of justice. And I don't agree with that. And it's not that it's not my opinion. It's that those are not the facts, right? The facts on sexual assault versus false accusations of sexual assault are clear. Sexual assault is incredibly devastatingly common. False accusations are very, very rare.
Yeah.
Like, the facts about what actually went down that day will never be fully known. But the idea that I don't need to relitigate this whole thing again. But at the end of the day, I just feel like, How do we get over the assumption gap? How do we get over the, like, well, since we agree on this core value, we can construct an entire argument about it. But what if we don't agree on that core value, that immigration is bad, or that all men are innocent until proven guilty and all women are liars until a video surfaces? Like, how do we get past that? I don't know. It's not going to be with one midterm.
No.
Right?
No.
It's going to be slow.
I don't think we're I mean, the most you can hope for is 60% or what, 55% of agreement.
All that being said, I feel like I'm in like a post-coital bummer state where like I should have like a cigarette and be like thinking about my life choices. I think this is a really good progress in these midterms. Like winning back the House is huge.
Seriously, think about how we would feel today.
Oh my God.
If it was another red wall. I mean, just think about it. I'm doing okay because I have a little bit of hope and everyone needs a little bit of hope now and then.
Yeah. And you know, the fact that that Democrats didn't somehow pull off a massive Democratic victory that's going to enable us to put forth like all of these democratic values and reforms and ideas and platforms. You know what? I'm actually okay with just being a pain in Trump's ass for the next 2 years. I am okay with being a human stop sign for 2 years. That's enough for me because I have seen what it looks like for him moving forward unencumbered basically for 2 years. And now that Kavanaugh's on the court, it's like, okay, we really needed this check. Yeah. So all in all, I'm super happy. I'm super happy. And, you know,
maybe
still
not the best orgasm of your life, but still pretty happy.
Not a toe curler.
Yeah.
But we got there.
Yeah.
I feel better.
That's good.
I'm ready to have a
you
snack.
You have sort of a glow.
Thank you.
Sort of a glow.
It's a little glow. Come find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/mouthymessymandatory. Please come find us. Join the conversation. We love, love, love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to Mouthy Messy Mandatory. This is a large network podcast. Peace out, Cub Scout.
Conservative news media. It's not for all of us.